with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
KVOE News Time 8:29, which makes it Newsmaker 2 time here today. We're pleased to have with us Lyon County Extension Ag Agent Brian Reese on the KVOE Sutherland studio line this morning.
Brian, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Brian.
How are you guys this morning?
We're doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing great. I'm enjoying some much more human-friendly temperatures.
Is that human, livestock, and crop-friendly conditions as well?
Yes. We'll just life-friendly conditions. We'll just go with that. How's that?
How are things down in Olpe on the way into the office here today?
A little drier than Emporia. I don't know. I think altogether that I dumped about 2/10 out yesterday morning and only about 5/100 this morning. So altogether we were probably maybe at 1/4 inch. So apparently we're a little bit drier than things here in Emporia. The highway started getting wet about the airport. But, you know, it was... Temperatures are nice, so everything that we've received is going to be a benefit to the crops, to the grass. The temperatures are sure a benefit to the livestock.
Yeah, and more rain on the way, it looks like, possibly today, and a pretty good chance tonight. In fact, a rain in the forecast right on through the weekend. Much needed because, Brian, as I mentioned earlier, Chuck had to bring out the drought monitor.
Yes.
You know, play, you know, last week.
Well, you know, if that's what got it to rain... Let's just keep that on the forefront. Just keep it up and open. So, but, yeah, and speaking of the drought, we have definitely been blessed, even though we've been dry. And I think I heard you guys saying that yesterday was the first measurable precipitation since the 2nd of July.
Yes.
But you don't have to get very far away from really the immediate Lyon County area before things start to look really, really pretty bad. Getting out into central Kansas, western Kansas, had a few phone calls from folks out that way looking for grass. You know, they're selling animals and they just don't have anything. They can't buy hay and, you know, they can't, they don't have anything for them to eat. So their only option is to sell them. And when everybody's selling, that's a bad time to sell because obviously the market drops out on what's for sale.
Yeah, that's well said. You mentioned here, too, Brian, about, you know, just kind of the conditions now. How timely are the rains that we're getting here this week? You know, we've got, you know, slight to, generally speaking, moderate chances with a couple of higher rain chances over the next week plus. How timely is this?
Well, I think that it would be extremely timely, dependent upon the quantity. You know, 1/4 inch might buy us a day or two, you know, in normal summertime conditions. You know, getting the 1-3 inches of soaking rain, not, you know, in 30 minutes or something like that, but a good 1-2 inch soaking rain would be tremendously beneficial at this point in time, even though probably last week when we were extremely hot, we very definitely took the top end off of some corn that was out there. There was some corn that in places looked really good, but the really unfortunate thing from what I'd observed in the corn crop throughout the county so far this year, there was a tremendous amount of unevenness. There was some corn that looked really good, and then there were some yellow spots. It was up and down. I don't know if it was emergence, if it was just some wet spots that got shorted a little bit. It was just not the most even uniform corn crop that we've had in quite a while. So those spots that have been set back early on probably really got hammered during that hot and dry.
Well, we were in good shape heading into July, really, moisture-wise, I think. In fact, a lot of moisture, maybe too much, bad timing in the spring, you know, that really had the farmers maneuvering around and trying to get things planted in a timely fashion.
You're exactly right. And, you know, again, when get a phone call or two from folks looking for grass. Yeah, I said, I'm sorry, I hate to say this, but we are blessed. And it's probably been 2 weeks ago. You know, at that point in time, the grass is still green, the ponds are full.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, we're fortunate, extremely fortunate. And the pond water is still in pretty good shape from everything that I've seen. You know, of course, we could run into some issues. We still need to check that where we don't have any new inflow running into it. Potentially with warming temperatures, nutrient load, we probably need to watch for some blue-green algae showing up out there in those ponds. But, you know, again, compared to many other parts of the state or the Midwest or the West, we are in a tremendously better condition than they are.
What are the beans like out there, Brian?
Some of them actually got in, and it gets back to the timeliness of planting like you spoke to earlier. If they got in, got up, the rows are shaded, they actually, for the most part, look pretty good. And really the refreshing rains and temperatures really helped them out considerably here just yesterday, today. Well, Sunday evening, they started to freshen up Sunday evening when the wind turned out of the north, and then really looked pretty good. Now, some of the later beans that went in, first crop beans or double crop beans after wheat, they all sort of went in about the same time. They're sort of small. This rain, especially if we're able to go ahead and get another half inch, inch and a half here in the coming 3 to 5 days while it's still relatively cool, that would go a long ways to getting those things up and hopefully getting some shading on the rows and help conserve what moisture's there. I think we've had some of those early beans that had started to flower. We probably aborted some of the flowers last week when it was hot and dry. And that's not uncommon for soybeans. They're a tremendously inefficient plant. They'll, the numbers that I've seen, they'll abort probably a third of the flowers. They'll probably abort a third of their pods, maybe more. And that's in a average year. And sometimes it's worse than that. But, I mean, soybean plants are capable of producing over 100 bushel per acre. But our typical average here, I don't know, I'd say it's probably someplace in the 35 to 40 bushel range would be what the county average would be on soybeans.
Gotcha. And corn crops at this point in time looking pretty decent, at least all things considered?
Up and down. I know there were some guys that started chopping some corn here, and they'd probably designated those fields for silage anyway. But there was some of the corn that has fired quite a bit when it was hot and dry last week. You know, and by firing, that means the bottom end of the plant starts to dry up and brown up. And at that point, typically, the corn plant is done doing the majority of what it's going to do. There will be some nutrient translocation. Sometimes late in the season, some of the hybrids will essentially transfer some of the nutrient from the stalk and finish out an ear. But, you know, most of the nutrient uptake, once that corn starts to fire and gets halfway up the plant, most of that nutrient uptake for this year is done. So that corn has done most everything it's going to do.
So overall, how'd the wheat do here in the area, Brian?
You know, from those I spoke with, sounds like the wheat crop really was pretty decent. It was going to be above average in most situations here. I know that there were some guys that got hit by some moisture and got held up a little bit, so that obviously cut into the test weight a little bit. But I think the yields held in there pretty good. And fortunately, with the price of commodities and inputs, it was fortunate that the prices have held up as well as they have on all of the crops. So from a crop production standpoint, you know, having bushels to sell that are at a good price doesn't happen all that often, so it's good when it does. You know, oftentimes, you know, in this part of the world, if the price is up, we don't have anything to sell because of drought, dry weather, whatever. There's been an issue, and there just aren't many bushels to sell, so there's a shortage. But I think it's a demand-driven deal at this point in time, and looks like for the immediate foreseeable future, crop prices are going to stay a little bit higher than historical averages.
Well, you know, the wheat shortage, Ukraine is playing a big part in that. And there was activity on that front just last week with Russia and more bombing that's really put a dent into an opportunity that Ukraine thought they had to export some wheat that will not be happening. And so, you know, wheat prices, unfortunately, you know, for Ukraine, and it's a sad situation there. But the wheat prices here are, as Brian mentioned, above average from what they have been. So that is a good sign, at least price-wise, for the wheat.
Right, and you hit on something there. I mean, we're actually, the majority of the time, selling based on a world market. And anytime you have somebody that is a good supplier that has a issue, then obviously that has an impact on the world market. And, you know, it's terribly unfortunate for the folks over there that have a product that they wanted to sell, wanted to move, and then have somebody else come in and create issues that limits their ability to do that.
Brian, shifting gears here, and again, we're talking with Lyon County Extension Ag Agent Brian Reese with, you know, essentially wrapping up a pretty blistering hot three-week stretch across the area and with at least a week's worth of rain chances still in front of us here. How are the livestock doing at this point in time, and how have they fared through the month of July?
Well, I would say that the cattle that have been out on pasture, whether they be cow-calf or stockers, obviously, the last week sort of slowed them up, but there were a lot of double stock cattle that were leaving this part of the country because, you know, it's about the time that they'll start shipping around the 15th of July. And so they were actually leaving and heading to feedlots in western Kansas where there's typically less humidity. So, you know, I don't know that the gains have been as good as we would have liked. But they've still been good gains. And for the most part, I'm not aware of any livestock issues heat-related other than, you know, performance being impacted a little bit. And they were probably not eating as readily as they would if they would have had, you know, the past 60 to 90 days like today. You know, have 75 to 85 degree temperatures, a little bit of a breeze. You know, they're out there and enjoying life and eating. And a lot of times if it gets to be too hot, they're looking for some place, either shade or water, to try and help them keep cool. And anytime they're doing that, then they aren't eating, so they aren't putting on pounds.
So, gotcha.
But, yeah, I think the livestock actually have, in this part of the world, have fared relatively well through it. And again, the other thing is we've got to remember that this past week when we had very high temperatures, we had some air moving. We had some breeze with it. And that does a tremendous amount of good to help keep those animals in better shape. They aren't cool, but at least they have the opportunity to dissipate some of that body temperature.
Cattle prices holding up for cows out there, Brian?
I don't know on cows. I think the market talked with Brody last week, and you guys may chat with him more frequently, but it sounded like the feeder calf market has been really pretty active. Good time to have some to sell, it sounded like. So, you know, that would be a good thing. Fat cattle prices are up from where they had been earlier in the year. Are they where they should be based on another input side of things? Probably not, but they are better than they were.
Well, and I know the Flint Hills Beef Fest is not that far away either. First, we got the Lyon County Fair coming up first, but then we've got the Flint Hills Beef Fest, and those cows will be coming off of grass, and that event will take place at the fairgrounds and also at Emporia Livestock. So gearing up for that wonderful event this year.
The month of August will be busy, and you know, like we spoke earlier, I had requested that you guys have this weather for the next 2 weeks, and I guess if we're making requests, why don't we make it for the next three and a half?
Chuck, there's the
order.
That
is a tall order, man.
Put your magic hat on and let's see if we can make that happen.
I'll see what I can do.
Chuck Samples, welcome to KVOA Weather. Can I take your order, please?
Thank you for shopping KVOA
That's
Weather.
That's right, the KVOA.com weather program.
Yeah, the beef fetch cattle, we typically will weigh them the third Thursday in August. I don't know if that's 17th, 18th, 19th, someplace in there. I don't remember what the actual date is. And then we'll have a producer seminar. We'll have the live show down at the sale barn on Friday morning. Then the cattle will ship on. And then we'll have a producer seminar at noon at the Boyer Building. And then, of course, ranch rodeo that evening. And then the activities that will take place on the fairgrounds on Saturday, including, I believe, a hamburger feed.
Yeah.
And then Saturday evening, obviously, we'll have the awards banquet and the steak dinner and all the other fun activities that go along with it, and a golf tournament on Sunday. So, you know, it'll be a good time for everybody.
Yeah, good to have Beef Fest back as it was last year, but we're looking forward to cooking the burgers up on the Lyon County Fairgrounds again this year. But first, the Lyon County Fair Brian, just about here.
And, it is.
And talking with Corinne and Travis and the gang out at the extension office, it's pretty busy time, isn't it?
It's been busy this last month trying to get everything prepared, and a lot of folks don't realize that. Some folks think that, you know, it's just a vacation for everybody that goes out there, and you know, we hope that everybody has a good time, but there's a tremendous amount of work and planning that goes into it, not only from the extension office, but definitely from the fair board and all the other volunteers, superintendents, and everybody that puts things into the Lyon County Fair to make it a success, not only in the Anderson Building, in the comforts of the Anderson Building, but also with the livestock activities that are going on outside. And I'm thankful that you guys, again, are looking forward to the play-by-play. I think we need to help out a little bit with the color commentary on some of the shows there. But we've appreciated the opportunities that you guys have given to many other people that aren't able to come out or for whatever reason, but to be able to go ahead and watch and take in the shows over the Internet. And, you know, that's a great opportunity, and I'm very thankful that you guys are able to go ahead and provide that.
We're glad to do it.
It's a great service. So, and obviously the first livestock show will be on Friday the 5th, the beef show. I think that we decided to start everything at 8:30 this year. So beef show will be Friday morning. The sheep and then goats will be on Saturday morning. Swine show will be Sunday morning. Round robin will start, I believe, 8:30 or 9 o'clock. Showmanship on Monday morning, the 8th, and then we'll have the premium sale that evening. So,
okay.
Have you been able to check the entry numbers with the 4-H'ers as far as the livestock goes, Brian?
The livestock numbers are down a little bit this year. Really, if we break it down by species, the beef numbers are strong, or probably as strong or stronger than they have been in the past. We've got a few less bucket calves than we've had the last few years, but I think those numbers had swelled considerably. But I think some of those younger 4-H'ers have aged up, and now they've got the larger animals. So, you know, that's sort of to be expected. The one that surprises me as much as anything is the swine numbers, and I think it's a little bit cyclical, but we are down considerably on the swine numbers. Sheep are pretty flat. Meat goats are down. They're probably half what they were at their peak probably 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. I think the quality of all the animals that we have is as good as it's ever been. But I think that there's a lot of folks that are bringing one animal instead of bringing two.
Yeah.
So the animals are expensive. It's expensive to feed them, care for them. Time is at a premium. So I think that people are trying to make decisions on, and rightly so. That's part of what we do with the 4-H program, you know, help people learn how to make, hopefully, better,
good decisions.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things. Where do we choose to spend our disposable money? and how do we try and look at things to hopefully make money at the end of the day and learn something in the process.
Yeah, I know last year the swine numbers were pretty robust.
Yeah.
I was a little taken aback, to be quite honest with you, on how long the swine show went last year. And I was tuned in, and there's a lot of swine here.
There's a lot of swine here. I heard you say that you sat down and sort of divvied everybody out. Who gets the pig show this year?
We haven't determined who's going to be doing at least the...
That's still a little bit up in the air.
I think I'm on the video side of that, if member serves.
Yeah, that's what he's talking to. It might be Chuck.
It might well be me.
Because I think I have the sheep on Saturday. Is that right? Goat and sheep and goat
that
Saturday?
That sounds about right, yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's the correct show anyway. I don't know who ended up with what.
I think that's me on the video Saturday out there.
Yep.
Yeah. That may well, Ron, congratulations, you may well get the longest day.
Oh, hey now.
It was all a setup to figure out who's got the longest day of
trade you, Chuck.
Now the jockeying begins.
There you go. Yep. It's all good.
Yeah. So, but I think the shows will run along very well, and I know that Clint usually does an outstanding job getting the well-qualified judges in here to evaluate the livestock and work with the kids. Obviously, at the fair, it's not necessarily as much about the learning experience as the exhibition. You know, at our spring shows, we try to ensure that the judges that we have in here work with the kids a little bit. You know, we want them to work on their exhibition, but at that point in time, we hope that they're still learning. And by fair, we hope that it's a finished project and that it's essentially an exhibition of that finished product. And, the time for learning and working with those animals should have taken place earlier in the year. And let's just kick back, enjoy it, have fun, and hopefully exhibit your projects, whether they're in the Anderson Building or outside in the show arena, exhibit those projects to the best of your and their abilities, and see how they stack up.
All right. Well, Brian, are we missing anything that you want to bring up here, either about the fair or the ag conditions here that we're dealing with and possibly looking at here for the next week plus?
No, the only thing I would say is that unless you come through with the 2 inches of rain, we are a long ways from having our drought broken here in the Emporia and South, at least in Lyon County area. We've still got quite a few cracks out in the ground. We re-moisten the surface, but we sort of hit the pause button is what it amounts to. I guess that's the phrase that gets used now. We're sort of treading water with what we're losing during the day or what the crops are using, and we need something to start to recharge the profile because it was getting pretty well dried out. So let's hope we're accurate in our forecasts and we do receive some additional rainfall at some point in time here between now and Saturday. Keep the temperatures where they are and we'll be able to utilize what moisture does fall a lot better.
Speaking of the fair, I do want to mention that today is the last day to get your money-saving advance tickets for grandstand events.
Get those done.
From any 4-H member, today is the deadline, or you can go ahead and call 342-5014. Please log on to LyonCountyFairKS.org for all the Lyon County Fair information. Great job as always, Brian. We appreciate it.
Thanks much, Brian.
Sounds like a winner, guys. You guys have a great day.
All right, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brian Reese, Lyon County Ag Extension Agents, joining us on our Newsmaker 2 this morning. Chuck?
All right, and thank you to Brian Reese for joining us here this morning, especially because we had a very late